It's time for TWiT This Week in Tech. Great show coming up for you. We'll talk about the big breaking news today that Yahoo's CEO is leaving the company after the scandal on his resume. We'll also talk about the Facebook IPO and Ashton Kutcher's sideburns. It's all coming up next on TWiT.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Audio bandwidth for This Week in Tech is provided by the new WinApp for Android, featuring wireless sync and one-click iTunes import. Now with free daily music downloads and full-length CD listening parties. Download it for free at winamp.com/android. Video bandwidth for TWiT is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. This is TWiT, This Week in Tech, episode 353, recorded Mother's Day, May 13th, 2012. I killed Dig. This Week in Tech is brought to you by Stamps.com. Use Stamps.com to buy and print real U.S. postage whenever you need it, right from your desk. To get my special offer, go to Stamps.com now, click the radio microphone, and use the offer code TWIT. And by GoToMeeting with HD Faces from Citrix. It just takes a webcam and a click to turn your online meeting into a high-definition video conference. Meet with colleagues anywhere in the world, even from an iPad. Try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and use the offer code TWIT. And by Carbonite Online Backup. Automatic, continuous, unlimited backup for your computer files. Just $59 a year. Try it free at Carbonite.com and use the offer code TWIT to get 2 bonus months with purchase. And by Gazelle, the easy way to sell your iPhone, iPad, iPod, or Android smartphone from your home or office so you can get the latest versions. Get a risk-free quote that's good for 30 days at Gazelle.com. It's time for TWiT This Week in Tech, filmed on tape live before a studio audience. Is that right, John? Did I say that right?
Perfect.
John C. Dvorak is here. He is our keeper of the cultural flame, the historian of old media.
Exactly.
Yes.
I have an Akai reel-to-reel that records and plays 8 tracks.
I'd love that.
And it records them.
I still need for my radio corner, because I have the old AM transmitter, the old AM board. I need turntables with felt so you can cue them up records.
Yeah, the Thurins.
Yeah, yeah. And I need some Ampex reel-to-reel, something like that. And then I'll be happy.
Maybe I'll do a deal with
you. Also joining us, Mark Millian, who used to be with the LA Times and used to be with CNN, but now is with Bloomberg Business Week. You say it, Bloomberg Business Week? You say all of the pieces? It's all together. And actually, you know what? I really like Business Week. I read it all the time. I think it's a really good source.
So good.
Glad to see you there. And you're covering online.
Consumer technology.
Consumer tech.
Yeah.
We got the experts.
Web, Facebook, Twitter.
We got the experts in consumer tech here, because also joining us, Joanna Stern from ABC News. Joanna used to be at The Verge.
Everyone.
Hi, Joanna.
I wish I was at Bloomberg Business Week.
No, don't say that. You just want to say Bloomberg.
Yeah, I want to learn how to say it that way.
I'm sorry, you're on Bloomberg Business Week. It must have been very difficult for you.
Is that your Joe Lieberman?
Yes.
He does sound like Droopy Dog, doesn't he? He looks like Droopy Dog. So it's very rare that TWiT, we schedule TWiT on a Sunday afternoon because we figure all the news will be in by Friday, give you time to look at it. We won't have anything new happen. So it's very rare for a big story to break on a Sunday morning, but it did, in fact. Kara Swisher broke it on All Things D, and it's now been confirmed. Scott Thompson's out at Yahoo. This is the upshot, I guess, although they're saying, I haven't read the official press release, but they're saying, I thought they were going to say he's out because of an illness.
Mental illness.
You know whose illness? I think the board is sick of him.
That's a problem.
This was what we were talking about last week, John, and I can't remember what your position on was. I know Brian was saying it was serious, and you were saying, big deal, he doesn't have a computer science degree.
No, that's not. No, I'm the one who said that you can't take a chance. I said two things. One is that this guy obviously knew this was on there, because no CEO does not have the ego where they're not constantly checking their bio and doing vanity searches and seeing how they're doing. So he knew that was there. And then the second thing was that I believe that if you find a fault like this, you might be dealing with a pathological liar
and you cannot take a chance
because those guys are extremely dangerous.
Yeah. Actually, with Schwinder,
I was about to say the same thing. That's a sickness.
Yeah, there's something wrong.
And it's a problem.
He didn't come clean right away either. I mean, he just kind of let it float out there. The first statements that Yahoo put out about it were just nonsense. They were, you know, it seemed like they were going to blame it on some rogue in their, like an intern or something. But we found a profile on PayPal where he had the
error.
Same.
Yeah.
It's been going back, you know, many, many years.
And then he apologized because it took focus away. He didn't apologize for the error. He apologized that the employees were getting distracted. I'm sorry you're getting distracted.
Yeah, he sent the memo to employees saying, yeah, just keep your head in the game. The media's trying to take us down, whatever.
It was Schwood that said it wasn't important.
It was Schwood. It was the other way around.
Right.
As far as
I was concerned, he was done.
Proven correct. Although, I have to say this really feels more like a victory of the activist shareholder than anything else. It comes because this fellow, Daniel Loeb.
Yeah, he didn't like this guy at all.
Really? Well, he's not liked what's going on at Yahoo for a while, and you can't really blame him.
Right, because the stock has been dead money, and this guy's got a lot of it.
So he now was the one who said, you got to get rid of Thompson. He's won. And in fact, he gets 3 board seats. He had proposed, as part of a proxy fight, he had proposed 3 new board seats. One of his selections, Jeff Zucker, actually he proposed 4. One of them, Jeff Zucker from NBC, former NBC head, will not take that seat. But media executive Michael Wolff and turnaround specialist Harry Wilson will join the board. The interesting thing to me is that Thompson, you know, he was part of this big restructuring, fired, what, a couple of thousand Yahoo employees, and was really refocusing Yahoo to be more, less about a media content company, more about commerce and data. And now you got the new CEO is a media guy again. So I think we're going to be whipsawed again.
Back to Terry Semel.
It's going to be like Terry Semel all over again. The global media head, Ross Levinson, who did run advertising sales but is considered a media guy, will now be the CEO at Yahoo. I think this is just more of a mess.
I wrote a column suggesting they track down and force Steve Case to take the job.
The guy who started AOL.
I don't think he's interested. No.
Apparently not.
No,
but my comment was he's just spending all his time at cocktail parties. And just a waste of time.
Well, Steve Case was the guy who put the jobs bill through. You know that the jobs
bill? Yeah, the jobs bill.
Yeah, the jobs
bill. It's got that scam clause in there that now you don't have to. You can fake your books for 2 or 3 years before you have to come clean.
This is ironic coming from you, because for years you were saying that Sarbanes-Oxley, the law that was passed after the, what was it? Was it the WorldCom or
Enron? And
MCI. After Enron saying, you know, all these disclosure requirements of publicly held companies. And you said this was putting a lid on innovation.
Yeah.
It was why nobody was going public anymore.
Yeah.
Repeal SOX, you said.
Yeah, yeah. I still say that.
But isn't this a step in the right direction?
It's not really, because this is kind of a wink, wink, nudge, nudge kind of a law or whatever they want to do, which is kind of like, I don't know. It's like we'll turn our backs on any misdeeds for a short time. And I don't like the word. I just think we should roll back some of these things that we've changed. I mean, we should put Glass-Steagall back in play and repeal Sarbanes-Oxley. The things were working fine before they started mucking around.
Yeah, they were working fine.
They were.
Don't remember the financial crises of the 2000s?
The 2000 crisis, they repealed Glass-Steagall during
that. Because of that.
It wasn't because of that. It was during that.
Right. Clinton did it. Right. No, I agree with you on that.
And there's also a bunch of other crazy laws they passed. They changed the bankruptcy law, so if you go bankrupt on your credit card, you still have to pay them.
Yeah, that sucks.
That kind of thing. And now we have the student loan scam going on where every student's in debt to a tune of $120,000.
But Pebble eWatch has raised $10 million on Kickstarter.
And they don't need the Jobs Act for that.
Well, that's the interesting thing, because they're not asking for investors. They're just saying you're buying a watch.
Yeah.
They sold 85,000 watches. They asked for $100,000. They got $10.1 million. I don't know if they'll get much more, because they've sold all the watches.
They shut it down, actually.
They have shut it down.
They sold all the watches. I bought them all.
How many did you get, Joanna?
I bought one.
I bought one too. But I spent a little extra to get multicolor so I could choose my color.
If you scroll down, you'll actually see that there are some who use Kickstarter to buy in bulk, I guess retailers.
Yeah, they had a surprisingly large number if you get to the $1,000 and $10,000.
$10,000 or more.
31 people bought 100 pebbles.
$10,000 worth.
I have a feeling that's going to be smart in this case. I mean, I'm sure they'll ramp up production again, but I think once this hits, I mean, we'll see actually how the watch actually does. And I bet my video just dropped, but we'll see how the watch actually does, like how it actually works. But I bet these things are going to be very hard to come by.
What kind of camera do you have on that computer, Joanna?
I'm just using the MacBook HD, the FaceTime HD cam.
Because sometimes when you have the Logitech, for some reason, some of the Logitech cameras, when the bandwidth fluctuates, they go from widescreen to 4:3, and then you drop briefly. Mm. And
is that happening?
You're wide now. I don't know. It was just a thought.
You know, we tested this, and it worked so well.
Sure
and
it
now
did.
It's
it always
just,
does before the show.
You test.
That's why test.
Do I look really grainy?
No, you look great.
Thank you.
You look fabulous. You look like a television star. You should be on The View.
I should be on The View. I want them to do a tech thing on The View.
Yeah. When you're on ABC, what do you do? Now, I know Becky Worley does GMA, so you don't do Good Morning America.
You know, they do. They'll call me now to just fill in and give my perspective on whatever the tech news is. But no, I'm not doing package pieces like Becky.
That's what Becky does.
No one can touch Becky. Becky's too good.
I know. I tried to touch her.
Yeah, and you got whacked.
Really upset. So what do you do, John and I? Think
so I'll go on. Like I was on this week. One of the topics we're actually supposed to discuss is the approval of the Google car
Nevada. Yeah.
Yeah, so I went on this week and I just gave a second or two clip. The interview was longer than that, but talking about that.
What can you say in a second or two? Cars, drive, Nevada.
Good.
I said something along those lines that Google is trying to make us safe.
Make
it safe. It really didn't make much sense in the 2 seconds that I said it, but.
That's because TV's all about the pictures. You can say anything, and if the pictures look good. They'll just go. Yeah.
The pictures did look good. I mean, actually, they pulled some of the segment because Becky went to go see the car at the Googleplex like 3 years ago or 2 years ago. And so they pulled a lot of stuff from that. And it was a good package. So they will pull me on for certain tech packages now, or I do my own series on abcnews.com. And yeah, all tech all the time at ABC.
Was that footage? Was that our footage that they used? Because Becky went 2 years ago to cover the Google cars.
It sounds like a violation of
for
copyright.
For our show, Green Media, Green Tech Today. Remember?
Oh, that was she might have done two segments, but she did a Good Morning America. I think it was I think it was an exclusive in 2010.
They better not put that on YouTube. It'll get pulled down.
I get to do a copyright with. Finally. The worm has turned, baby. So Yahoo, just let's get back to this top story. And then we'll move on. Could it get any worse? I ask you, Mark Millian.
It reminds me a lot of HP right now.
Crisis time.
It's like corporate strategy is not going in any clear direction. Replacing CEOs frequently.
And changing business models almost frequently, too. Mm-hmm. So now,
I mean, their advertising is still the cash cow over there,
right?
Display ads,
and certainly Levinson was responsible for advertising in the U.S. He was president, though, I have to point out, before joining Yahoo, of Fox Interactive Media. Huh. He was at News Corp. He was in charge of strategy and deals. You got the right guy. He spearheaded the $580 million. Acquisition of MySpace.
He did, this guy?
This guy.
This is not good.
They got the right guy. He bought MySpace.
Maybe he was against it and they made him do it.
Yeah, that's what it says on his resume. I never wanted it. He was also at Alta Vista, CBS Sportsline, and HBO. He's a media guy.
Is it Alta Vista?
Yeah, you've heard of them.
That's pretty weird. What did he do there?
Well, maybe ad sales. I don't know. Former managing director of Fuse Capital, an investment firm focused on media companies. He's media. It's back to Terry Semel. Very interesting.
Well, he'll have the one advantage of actually maybe showing up at the office once in a while.
Did Thompson not go to the office?
No, Semel.
Oh, Semmel.
Apparently, Semmel spent all his time in Beverly Hills.
Yeah, he liked Hollywood. We're going to... Joanna keeps dropping up, but we got her back.
I'm back.
I apologize. You're back. You're back.
I'm also going to blame the new Skype, because this new Skype is like...
It's horrible.
Shouldn't have upgraded.
I really shouldn't have upgraded. And I didn't know any better, and I hit the upgrade, and it sounds like my computer is going to take off for outer space.
Oh, it's working hard.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure... I have to check here, but I think Skype is using, like, half my RAM right now.
We came up with a theory today.
Yes.
They get people to upgrade. They're going to start to degrade Skype to the point where it's going to be... Then they're going to figure out, what are you going to do about monetizing this thing? We got to get people to upgrade to a commercial version that they pay us money. So now they're going to limit connectivity, so she won't be able to come on this show for more than 20 minutes at a time.
Right.
You can't be on for more.
Just hang up.
Yeah, it'll just hang up.
It'll probably make you download Windows with it also.
Well, but that's probably true.
Yeah, because Microsoft owns it, right?
Yeah, that's the problem. Microsoft, they can't keep losing money.
Well, they can. They did in the Xbox.
Yeah, but they knew that there was a golden goose at the end of it. There's no...
What's the golden goose?
There's nothing at the end of this.
The $99
rainbow.
Xbox, $15 a month, baby.
Hey, they're actually making money on that thing, as far as I know.
I think Skype is for locking. You know,
for
they
locking?
Could, for locking.
Wow.
For lock, you know, down the road, they build a nice suite into the Windows Phone and the tablets and the computers, and the best experience for Skype is on Microsoft devices. There could be a strategy.
Microsoft had all the capabilities that Skype offers. That's the funny thing. I mean, they had a product that does all that.
Yeah, and they still have links.
What they really
bought... Windows Live Communicator?
I don't know. Some funky name. There's a business product as well. But what they really got was a brand name and a customer base. That's what they really got, right? Mm-hmm. It's not about the product. It's not about...
Well, the technology's good, too. I mean, it's peer-to-peer rather than, you know, the junk that...
And we can see how well it's working right now.
It's working great today.
Actually, you know, I shouldn't mock it, because there would be no Twit if it weren't for Skype. We've always used Skype.
This is true.
We've had great results. We've tried other things. None of them work as well as Skype. So no matter, you know, I know that we're having a little bit of a difficulty, but here, look at Joanna's in New York City. She's sitting around the table with us. The picture's great. The sound's great. I mean, I'm not going to
complain. I love technology.
Yeah. It doesn't work all the time, but that's fine.
You know, actually, I got my start in the tech profession representing Skype. I worked for their PR agency.
Really?
Yeah, I worked for their PR agency for about 5 months. And I was reading all this tech press. I was reading GigaOm. I was reading TechCrunch. I was reading everything because I was monitoring for Skype. And I said,
I could do that.
I really like what those guys are doing. So I went and got a job. So I should thank Skype for my success. Thank you, Skype.
Wow, that's
pushing you away.
Yeah. One last thing, and then we're going to move on. But I think the kiss of death, perhaps, for Scott Thompson was he blamed the headhunting firm that hired him, that got him the job at Yahoo, for changing his resume. And the headhunting the headhunting firm was so upset, they put out an internal memo saying he's full of it and we can prove it.
Yeah, he had the same resume at PayPal. Like, what?
Yeah, he did.
They were so upset that he blamed Hedrick. It's called Heldrick.
Well,
and
now there's your pathological liar phenomenon, as I say.
I think that might be what they finally... There is going to be an investigation, blah, blah, blah. Would you use a headhunting firm called Hedrick and Struggles?
Sounds more like some sort of an S&M club.
Yeah. Headlock and Struggles. Can't forget that. We're going to take a break, come back with more. Joanna Stern is here from ABC, not the Australian Broadcasting Company. No, no, no. The American.
Am I less crooked right now?
No, but your lamp is going to fall.
For ABC,
right?
We don't know for sure.
She's less crooked.
No, because everyone was complaining in the chat room about how I'm crooked, and me and Aileen noticed it before. And so now I move my laptop up a little bit.
No, it's not a little lamp. Like you're on a space shuttle. Your lamp is falling
over.
Joanna,
look over your left shoulder.
No, it's not. It's actually
not.
It's my apartment is on a slant.
What do they pay you at ABC?
No, she lives back east.
I swear, a very nice apartment, but I think my desk or something is on a slant.
It could be. By the way,
slide zone.
Given that Thompson seems to have some trouble with the truth,
I'm just going to hold this here.
Feld had a good suggestion in our chat room. Yahoo should get John Lovitz to be there next year.
Yeah, we're going to go into media. That's it. Yeah, media. That's the ticket.
We're going to take a break. Come back with more with Joanna from ABC with Mark Million of Bloomberg Business Week. Do you say Bloomberg Business Week or just Bloomberg?
I work for Bloomberg and write for Business Week sometimes.
So I almost say Bloomberg. Bloomberg Business Week. Yeah, and John C. Dvorak. .org/blog.
Yeah, that's one.
ChannelDvorak.com.
That's one.
They're all disappointed in the chat room that you did not wear the Beach Boys shirt, but you're now wearing a lumberjack shirt.
I'm a lumberjack and I'm okay.
Yeah, every time you come, you should come as a different person.
Yeah, I will. I still got my
fireman
baseball.
Next time.
Fireman. Yeah, it could be like the village people worker. Of tech journalists. Yeah, all in one.
That's what I need.
You could get the cover of Newsweek.
Yeah.
Yeah. What? So we're going to take a break, come back, and talk right now, though, about in a bit we're going to talk about the Facebook IPO, because I think this is good. And Mark is upset because of the hoodie incident. So we'll talk about the hoodie incident.
The hoodie.
But I want to tell you about Stamps.com. Why go to the post office, which can be a mixed bag, frankly. Let's admit it. Parking, and there's a line. You go at lunch. Everybody else went at lunch. But you got to have stamps? No, you got to use Stamps.com. This is the modern way of getting postage. You print it yourself. It's not counterfeiting. It's legal. It's official U.S. postage from your computer, your printer. You don't need a postage meter. You don't need special ink. You just need stamps.com. And it looks much more professional. You can actually have your company logo and information on the stamp. They fill out the forms you need. If you're an Amazon or eBay seller, you're going to love this. The software on Amazon and eBay talks to the software at stamps.com, and all the forms are filled out, the exact right postage, because you got that USB scale they provide. It's just fantastic. We've got a special deal for you. Normally it's $80. See that special offer? $80. No, click the microphone there and use the offer code TWIT, T-W-I-T, and we're going to give you $55 of free postage to take that offer up to $110. You get a scale. You only pay shipping and handling for that. You get a $55 worth of postage coupons. You get, of course, a four-week trial and the equipment and all that stuff to print your own postage equipment. There's no equipment. You just need a little software. That's it. Stamps.com. Use the offer code TWIT. It says $55 offer right there, but that's actually, it's twice that. It's $110 offer. Use the offer code TWIT at Stamps.com. I love it for international mail, too. I used to have to go to the post office. You want to mail anything to Australia, you have to get an international postage order or whatever they call it. This, it'll do it. And it fills out the forms and everything for you. And then the mailman comes and get it, or the mail carrier comes and get it. Stamps.com. Try it right now. You'll love it. So Friday, right? Friday, Mark Zuckerberg becomes a billionaire.
Okay.
If it goes off at the price people are that Facebook's asking, he'll become a 14 billionaire. That's nice. That's good work.
If you That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah. Well, he's going to have to manage that money.
It was on Bloomberg TV, wasn't it, that an analyst came on. Mark's been doing the roadshow for the IPO. And sometimes he shows up, sometimes he doesn't. Sometimes he's on video, sometimes he's not.
A flake.
Sometimes he's wearing a hoodie. And
well, what's wrong with that?
Michael Pachter, an analyst for Wedbush Securities, goes on Bloomberg TV and says, Mark in his signature hoodie, he's actually showing investors he doesn't care that much. He's going to be him, but I think that's a mark of immaturity. I think he has to realize he's bringing investors in as a new constituency right now. And this is where he goes deadly wrong. I think he has to show them the respect they deserve because he's asking for their money. Is that true? Do you need to come when you
I actually wrote a column on PCMag.com about this specific
yes,
thing, and? Especially that guy's comment.
Yes.
No. These people are begging him to take the stock.
Well, that's
He's
the
not
debate.
Asking them for anything.
That's the interesting debate because there was an article, actually.
They should be kissing his ass.
That's what I think.
And he can wear whatever he wants.
And that's what obviously what he thinks.
Yeah. Well, he doesn't care.
He doesn't. I don't think he, you know, they were forced.
I'm sure he doesn't care.
I believe they were forced into this by SEC regulations. I don't think they wanted to go public.
They didn't really have to. I mean, they could have just filed the necessary documents and stayed private.
Oh, I thought if you had 500...
Bloomberg is a private company.
I thought if you had five... Once you gave out five to 500 people...
Then you have to start filing to the SEC. You don't have to do an IPO and take public money.
But if you're gonna... Okay. But if you're gonna do all this disclosure stuff, you might as well get some money while you're at it.
That's the thinking.
Right? TechCrunch... Actually, I'm sorry. Michael Arrington in Uncrunched, because he's an unpaid blogger now... actually has a fascinating article. I'd love to know what you think about this, because the Bloomberg story said that the Facebook IPO was going to get weaker than forecast demand. Bloomberg had named sources and said, you know, people aren't really that excited about the Facebook IPO. Facebook, according to Mike, and I believe him on this, Facebook PR went into high gear.
They have PR?
Yeah. They went to Reuters and fed them a story that said, oh, no, the IPO is already oversubscribed. And as Mike points out, all the sources were unnamed, close to the...
I think it was only one source that Reuters used. It was one anonymous source. That was the last I checked. Maybe they've updated.
They said, according to our source, close to the story. In other words, a Facebook PR specialist, right?
Speculation. I don't really know who their source was. It was interesting that they published about an hour after we did.
Literally, exactly.
Working on the story for a while.
Yeah. They said, we have a story, too.
So what is the prediction?
Somebody called us. So what is the truth?
The prediction?
Yeah.
Well, so we reported, we had about five reporters working on this, and sourced mostly anonymously, I think, that the Facebook IPO, as of, I think it was Wednesday when we did this, or Thursday, was getting weaker than forecasted demand. So they were expecting a certain demand from institutional investors, and... what they were seeing after the first week was less than they were
projecting.
Now,
these two stories could both be true.
They could, yeah.
Because
it could be oversubscribed, but they could have expected maybe that it would be much more
oversubscribed. Or at a higher price, for instance. Because what would be the... They haven't priced it yet. They have until May 17th to price it. So what the response to lackluster interest would be is, well, we won't... Make it $48. Now what do you say? And so that could be what's going on, right?
Mm-hmm. Could be.
I don't know why they... What is the price expected to be? Do we have any ideas? Is it going to be $50?
Let me see.
Typically, if you want to run up the stock price on some IPO like this, you never really price it more than $15 to $17.
So Facebook is offering 337.4 million shares at somewhere between 28 and 35.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It'll be NASDAQ. The stock symbol will be FB. They have May 17th. To actually decide on what the price will be. In other words, right before, because the IPO is Friday, the 18th, right?
I'll be surprised if this thing doesn't go over big.
Let's find out. So I will predicate this with, I'm sure that none of us are allowed or interested in buying tech stocks, because that would be a conflict of interest.
Correct.
And probably some of us are lousy advisors. I would include myself. If you listen to me for stock advice, you're nuts. But let's start with Joanna. Facebook stock. Are you going to grab it? Is it going to go up? Is it going to go down? What do you think?
Like you said, I can invest in it, but I think it'll, it's hard to say. From what we're hearing about some certain Facebook products, I think it'll go up. I think the more they put into some of their products and the more they're going to focus on mobile and all of that, probably better success of it going up, better chance of it going up.
You give it a buy rating, Mark Million?
I don't really know about that. I mean, there's a pretty significant divide between the private and the public investment sectors right now. Facebook has... sold shares, well, not itself, but on the secondary market, shares have gone at a $105 billion valuation before.
Which is considerably more than they're asking.
Right.
They're looking for a $90 to $100 billion valuation.
And if you look at the VC market here in the Valley, and if you look at Facebook's own purchases, $1 billion for Instagram, a lot of people think is crazy for a company that makes no money.
Instagram, not Facebook.
Facebook makes boatloads of money.
Yeah.
But you look at LinkedIn and Groupon and Yelp and Pandora, all of these big tech IPOs, they have a first day pop and then they're not looking so good.
Groupon's in the single digits now.
There's no bubble in the public sector. Right.
So you mean once you issue these stocks, once you get into the real world.
Once you're being evaluated, on the grander market, when you're playing in the same boat as Walmart,
right,
and Exxon,
right,
and these other giants, the game is a little bit different.
That's what these investors are saying, these big institutional investors are saying, no, based on the fundamentals, we look at fundamentals. We look at how the company's doing, what its prospects are, how its business is run. Based on the fundamentals, we don't think it's worth what they're asking, is what they're saying, at least according to this story in Bloomberg Business Week. Yeah, that's going to be the new thing. You laugh, but it's memorable.
I like that. Oh, you do our commercials.
If you put a breastfeeding mother on the cover.
Now you're talking.
Warren Buffett breastfeeding Exxon Valdez. Hey, there you go. You could have Bill Gates standing on a chair. Oh, that's a great cover.
In camo.
Yeah. John C. Dvorak, are you long or short on Facebook?
Well, I think what's being overlooked here is that there's a weird public offering phenomenon that takes place with companies that the public actually uses and loves.
Right.
That means the public.
In other words, McDonald's stock does well because everybody who knows nothing about investing says, well, I eat burgers, so I'm going to buy McDonald's stock.
There's some truth to that.
Yeah.
And
that's
so
true.
There's enough people out there that think, and they've heard the buzz, oh, Facebook. And they got Zuckerberg on the cover of this and that and the other thing. The public, in this case, yeah, the professional investors are smart enough to know that this is probably a short-term turkey. But the public sees it as an opportunity to get into something that they right. love. Right. I think this thing is going to – I mean, I'm not saying it's going to go up forever, but I think it's going to be this, one of the strongest performers, and it will probably trigger a whole bunch of really sketchy IPOs.
They're asking for 24 times their revenue. To give you a benchmark, Google's stock is at 5 times revenue right now. They're asking for 4 times,
the investing public is not going to pay any attention to these kinds of things.
They don't care. All right, well, I'm going to give you the right answer. I am long on Facebook because Facebook has just begun to scratch its monetization itch. So you can't look at the current fundamentals. They're very carefully. I think they've done the. Hey, I watch The Social Network. I know what's going on.
Yeah.
I know. I'm inside Zuck's head.
You saw it twice.
Yeah.
You knew what Eduardo was going to do, right?
What? He was going to put cheesy ads on there.
No longer an
American. And he was going to change his. He's not a citizen.
You know, actually, Eduardo is going to make bank on this, too. He's going to be worth several billion.
And he won't be paying the same taxes that a lot of other
Singapore.
Leo knew all along.
I'm just saying that, Mark, I watched that movie, and look at that. Is that for tax reasons he's doing that?
Yeah.
Well, he didn't say.
What a little weasel. That is weaselly.
Yeah, where is he moving? Singapore, right?
God bless America.
Yeah, he's lived there for a while, actually.
Zuckerberg was right about this guy. This guy's a weasel. He's going to Singapore, to tax haven, to just...
He's lived there.
You know, there's still the possibility that this IPO won't come off, you know.
They might actually just pull the plug?
It could happen. There's all kinds of possibilities. So this crazy thing that just happened with J.P. Morgan is a...
They might just pull the plug. They won't pull the
plug. Yeah, they lost a couple billion. I think it's pretty unlikely.
We'll see. Just saying it's a possibility. Maybe. If the market crashed completely and they pull the plug. If we had a massive market meltdown, they'd pull the plug.
You know, I was doing the radio show about 15 years ago. We were doing a remote broadcast. Guy pulls up in a Rolls Royce.
And he
says to me, he says, Leo, you bought me that Rolls Royce. I said, I did. How did I buy you that Rolls Royce? He said, Leo, you were talking about zip drives and how great zip disks were. And I said, I got to invest in that iOmega company. You see that Rolls Royce? It's going to be repossessed tomorrow because it's not intact. No, but
it's a rewrite of the joke where I went to Las Vegas in a $40,000 car and came home in a $150,000 bus. Gag.
Or the famous Richard Branson quote: "You want to become a millionaire? Start as a billionaire and buy an airline." it's a tough crowd tonight in the Twit Brick House. It's a tough crowd.
They're not booing us.
That's true. They could be throwing.
Lots of people laughing at my crooked apartment. You just got to know your audience.
There was a crooked girl who had a crooked smile. No,
it's
it looks good. Everything's straight.
Yeah, because she moved
the lamp.
Except
for President Obama.
Oh.
My computer is totally crooked. Like, I'm propping it up with a thing of notepads. I mean, another mouse is under it.
You'll be hanging upside down before the end of the show.
I got to explain the Obama crack because people are going to get mad at me. Both Newsweek and Time, and this has nothing to do with tech, so I'm going to do it really quickly. Newsweek and Time are in some sort of weird circulation war. Newsweek, for Mother's Day, puts a mom breastfeeding her son who's 4, and he's standing on a chair.
That was 6.
6, whatever. He's big. And it's kind of creepy. Kid. And
it's
I have to say,
creepy. Yes.
The other thing is, she's an out of work actress. She's kind of hot. So it's a little.
So
like,
you're thinking, well, it could be me.
No, I think that's part of the problem. Yeah, I'm thinking that could be me on that chair in the camo pants. And then Newsweek puts a picture of Obama with a rainbow halo over his head. Says it hasn't come out yet, but we're told by Bloomberg Businessweek that he's gonna say the headline's gonna be Obama is America's first gay president because of his stance on gay marriage.
We have the cover at abcnews.com.
So it's true.
Like to look.
Yeah. Mm.
I bet you that gets pulled. I bet you we never get to buy a copy. Prediction number two.
Boy, you're on a roll. So well, Facebook IPO, they're going to pull the plug.
No, I said it's possible. I'm not predicting that. I'm just saying if it happened, it wouldn't surprise me.
ABC.com is
ABCnews.com.
Oh, ABCnews.com, because I'm seeing...
heaven forbid.
I'm seeing Duets, the series premiere Thursday, May 24th on ABC. I mean, ABCnews.com.
Just want to point out the Business Week is not playing that sleezy game.
No, yeah, I like this.
Heaven forbid.
In fact, that cover.
It's just instead they do the worst cover that no one will ever buy from a newsstand. Yellow on, without even any border around it, just yellow ink
green.
On green and brown.
Yeah,
and then it's on some art director.
And then it says.
I'm looking for the New Yorker cover.
It's a good feature on Apple in here.
It's not even.
About their stranglehold over Hollywood.
Oh, that's good.
My colleague
that.
Peter Burroughs.
Oh, no, I heard that the other day. That was a great piece.
And then you're right. This isn't exactly in the same league. This Brazil's big war on big oil, and then it's a guy looks like a samba, you know, one of those carnival dancers.
Yeah.
And he's spattered. He's kind of all messy with oil.
Yeah. If that's what it is.
I didn't even know.
I think it's a woman, right?
Or is it a woman?
Oh, I love the New Yorker. The New Yorker cover takes the.
What's the New Yorker cover this week?
Oh, it's also
it's the White House with rainbow columns.
Oh wow. That's a little more subtle.
I actually think that's great.
That's a little more subtle. You know, this is a new feature on Twitter.
Anything subtle about this?
News analysts analysis.
Didn't they used to do that? I mean,
Sky TV has all these different covers of all the newspapers.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I've seen that.
And like CNN, I think that that old guy Jack used to do that. He'd hold up different newspapers.
It's the only exercise he got.
I think it's like this morning in the papers or whatever.
Jack's probably my age, right? So, yeah, the morning papers. So I'm just looking
Sunday,
for...
Sunday afternoon papers.
Yeah.
Another exciting episode of TWiT.
Jeez Louise. Anything more? Let me just see if there's anything more we want to say about Facebook.
Well, you were talking about their monetization, and they just turned to potential new revenue streams on just last week.
Like the App Store? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, the App Store. They're going to start selling...
That's bizarre. Ooh.
Facebook.
Except they're not. This is what's a little strange about it.
What do they got to sell?
Well, it's if Zynga wants to sell a version of Words with Friends, they can put it up for $1 or $2. Facebook will
take 20%.
Let me see if I can.
And Zynga's been using Facebook credits for a while, but now they're welcoming more developers.
So what's interesting is they're selling apps for – they're not selling. They're showing apps for iPhone, Android phone – look at that's the Big Apple App Store logo. Wait a minute, this can't be it. This is something.
No,
that's
Apple. That's Apple. No one.
You want App Center?
App Center?
Which?
Don't laugh at me. Now I get a laugh.
There we go.
Yeah.
Now the audience has turned, ladies and gentlemen.
Jeez Louise.
They haven't launched
it
yet.
So
they've started taking application submissions from developers.
All that effort. He set you up.
Well, okay.
Don't invite him back.
My point being that they will show. iPhone apps and other apps. And what will happen is when you click it, it will go right to the App Store because they can't sell iPhone apps.
Right. But if, at least at first, if you're going to get an app and use it on Facebook.com, maybe sign up for a new account.
But apps are free on Facebook, aren't they?
All of them are now. And you can buy in-app purchases through Facebook credits. Pretty soon they're going to start letting developers sell Facebook.com applications.
Facebook says it's not competing directly with Apple or Google. The App Center will send traffic to both the iOS and Android platforms. However, what they're going to do is they're going to highlight apps that use Facebook Connect. So what it really is, this is the real reason they're doing this. I don't think it's so much for revenue. I think it's to encourage more and more people to use Facebook Connect. Right? And that lets you and I actually like it. Consumers love it too. And it just makes
that's definitely the strategy on the free apps, but... as Mark was saying, I mean, on the paid apps, that'll there'll be a different strategy, I'm sure. Right.
And this could be, you know, I have no insight into this, but it could potentially be a way to sort of hack the Apple and Google payment model. Apple has a restriction where you can't
In-app purchases.
Right. But if somebody wants to, let's say, Words with Friends, they go on their Facebook.com, they pay for Facebook credits with Words with Friends, and let's say you were able to log into your Facebook account on the iPhone app, and it says, oh, you've already paid for this. You don't need to pay again.
No, Apple. Apple will absolutely... What do you think, Apple's idiots? What do you think, they're stupid?
Amazon does that with the Kindle. You can download books on your computer, and then the books show up in your Kindle app. You just can't buy them through a link in the iPhone app.
Right.
That's a good point. So, and Amazon actually had to take out links to the store from their app.
Yeah.
But they still say, go to our store, buy it, and it'll show up on the Kindle app. I'm amazed Apple allows that.
Yeah, I am too.
I guess they have to with Kindle. Will they have to with Facebook? There's no love lost there.
Yeah. Facebook is powerful.
Yeah, it's the biggest app on the iPhone. Yeah.
If they turned on Apple, can you imagine?
Ooh.
Stock's already gone down.
You feel like there's no love lost because Apple does incorporate Twitter heavily into the iPhone, but Facebook, not so much.
Yeah.
And Ping.
Well, that's always been the... Mark, you'd probably know more, but that's always been sort of the rumor, right? About the tension between the two companies, why the iPad app was delayed so many times.
Right, yeah. I mean, there's...
Remember when they demoed Ping, it had Facebook in it, and when it was released, it did not.
I signed up through it, and then it got broken.
Yeah.
I signed up the first day, got my Facebook... I mean, nobody was on it at the time, but I was able to hook into my Facebook.
You know what? I just went back.
Nobody's on it. I think there's been some evidence that Apple has built some of the Twitter-like integration for Facebook into iOS, but they never launched it because reached a deal with Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
So there's several things that Facebook, they might get pure revenue. They encourage people to use Facebook Connect, developers to use Facebook Connect, which puts people in the Facebook ecosystem. And they may even make money on in-app credits or purchases through some
they take
sneaky 30%. Little and get the 30% there. Now, you said there's two ways that they're monetizing. What was the other way that they announced?
Is this
paid to promote?
Back
post?
To the app center. I mean, Apple has taken, you know, since 2008, I reported a story that Apple has gotten $1.7 billion in revenue from the App Store. So there's an obvious business there. And that's something, you know, investors might be excited about with Facebook launching this last week or, you know, talking about it last week and about
that's why they do all this stuff right running up to the IPO.
And another, you know, potential revenue stream is they're testing this ability to, you know, write a status update and then pay to have it highlighted, featured highly in your friends'
that is
feed.
So annoying. So, okay, so let me get this straight. So I do a status update and then I give Facebook a couple of bucks and they'll make sure that my status update is my friends see it.
Mm-hmm. And Twitter does that too. I mean, these
are... Yeah, but not for a couple of bucks.
But not, right.
It's very expensive.
It's not as independent, right?
Well, it's not as expensive as promoted trends.
Oh, okay.
But it's not
$2. How much is that? Has anyone priced that out?
Promoted trends?
Yeah.
It's out there. I think it's over 100K per day.
It's very expensive. And how about getting into somebody's tweet stream?
I don't know. I think it's more like a self-service model, similar to Google Ads.
Oh, so is there an auction kind of a thing? Or?
I'm not... totally familiar with it, but I believe it works that way.
Now, the other issue is that we just learned that for the first time ever, most Facebook users, more than half, are now using it on mobile, not on the desktop, which is more difficult to monetize. So Facebook does have to turn on things like this.
Right.
Because this is a way to make money without an ad, a display ad.
Right. I mean, it looks a lot more like Twitter's advertising, and Twitter has... almost always been
Twitter's
a
got the same
first
problem.
Company.
Yeah.
And so they, you know, they need to think about ways, ad units that will translate to small screens. And I think Facebook is starting to identify that. And it's an important time for them to start testing these types of ad units because they had to amend their S-1 last week, their public filing, to say that advertising revenue has not kept pace with user growth because of the movement to mobile.
Right, right. So these are the negatives in the IPO.
Yeah, yeah. Potential.
I think that it would be foolish for Facebook to rely on advertising for its revenue. There's a lot of ways they can monetize all this information that they have about us. That there's a lot of ways that I think this pay to promote is a very interesting idea. We can expect them to try a lot of stuff. Look at Beacon. They try stuff, and Beacon was a horrible failure. And they pulled it out, and they apologized. They paid a fine and moved on. And I'm sure that we'll see a lot more things like that. Some of them may go over the line, as Beacon did.
Yeah. I hope, meanwhile, they're also innovating with features and things right. that their 900 million users want to use rather than only in advertising.
A couple more Facebook
stories. When is F8 supposed to be this year? When is it typically?
September. September?
That's the Facebook Developers Conference. Mm. I don't see a date for the next F8. It was September last year.
Typically September.
It was 9/22 last year. That's fun. That's where you'd see a lot of that.
Right.
Remember seeing, I think we talked about it last week, the CEO of AT&T saying, I'm losing sleep over iMessage because Apple's taking money out of our SMS pockets. And
everybody thinks of Google Voice.
Randall Stephenson. Yeah, he said there's a lot of things that are disruptive to our... He says iMessage is disruptive to our... I love this euphemism, messaging revenue stream. The big bucks we make from SMS.
We shouldn't be making anything from it.
I agree. And he added that Skype was becoming a more viable voice service as data networks improve, which poses a threat as well. But the real question is how much is it's not Apple's iMessage you got to worry about. It's Facebook messaging, which has the same exact technique, right? You can use even though it's funny, there's no iPad version, there's an iPhone version, and you can send messages to anybody, especially since everybody's on Facebook right now.
Yeah, and especially because iMessage doesn't work all that well.
Yeah.
That's what I think. I just turned it off right. because they're not getting their messages.
But Facebook Messenger, or whatever it's called, works great. In the Philippines, 50% drop in text messages from 660 a month average per person. This is one of the big text messaging nations, so this is kind of a bellwether. To 400, from 660 to 400 year to year.
And?
Why?
It's
a data point. I think because they're using the internet. They're using data instead of SMS. Maybe, maybe not. Maybe they don't want to talk to each other anymore. Maybe they broke up.
I have no idea. Okay. I never knew this.
Well, it's just a fact. There's no analysis attached. It's just what is.
Well, that's what we're here for.
That's your
show.
Job. I'm just
well, I don't know about
facts.
Anything about this. No. But isn't this group that's sitting
you want
here
a hypothesis? We're seeing it all over the world.
We need to know what the most popular type of phone is there.
Right.
And we can better make
it's happening in other countries. It's not so much happening in the U.S. I think we're still going up, but we were late to the party on text messaging.
True. Yeah. But in globally, these free messaging apps, essentially,
right.
versions of iMessage,
GroupMe, WhatsApp. There's a million
WhatsApp.
Of them.
Mm-hmm.
Samsung has this cross-platform messenger.
Yeah, just to say, I mean, BBM was here before all these.
BlackBerry Messenger.
Now,
if you go to a high school,
I BlackBerry. I'm the only one with BBM because all my friends have left the.
Well, that's because they all graduated from high school.
Yes, it's true.
In high school, everybody for a long time until very recently was using BlackBerries because they had BBM. And that's interesting. Now, Joanna, do you use text messaging?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I do. I use like three different phones, so I'm constantly going between them. So I use email actually a lot more than text messaging. But if I'm meeting someone, I use a text. I text.
I cannot get everybody I know to use my Google Voice number because if they used that, then it would text to every phone I use. But they but what happens then, I text them from a phone, and they get that number, and then they respond to that phone, but they don't have that phone the next day.
Yeah, I haven't mastered Google Voice.
It also can't send you picture messages, which is kind of annoying. That's why I stopped using Google Voice.
There should be a solution.
Something's up. With this
proclamation from John C.
No, I'm
DeVore.
Just saying something's up with this crazy information. This parrot.
I think that
factoid.
This is why Randall Stephenson isn't sleeping well. Is that more and more people are turning to these group message services? Beluga, Facebook bought Beluga. That's basically what became Facebook's Messenger.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, the Instagram deal. Interesting article. I think it was on The Verge where they talked to their ex. Oh, no, it was from the Financial Times originally. I'm reading it from the Verge, where they talked to people familiar with the matter, saying the FTC is investigating the Facebook Instagram acquisition, and that may hold it up. It can take from 6 months to a year for Kevin Systrom to get his hundreds of millions of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
So you got a feel for Kevin.
Oh, yeah. Poor guy. Yeah.
He's just hanging in the wind waiting for his money. It's hard to be rich but not have access to that money. Take it from me.
Right. And meanwhile, at the end of the week, Zuckerberg might have that same amount of money in his pocket. Right.
Right. And it could all go away if the FTC, they don't, typically what they would do is ask for the deal to be restructured, maybe some, you know, sell off some assets or whatever. But, of course, you know why the FTC is investigating, because
it'll screw up the IPO. That's why.
Yeah, because Twitter bitched. And, yeah. And said, hey.
We tried to buy them.
Hey, you don't let them do that. And the FTC said, what? Huh? Okay.
I like the way these companies are so cooperative.
Twitter was also looking at Camera Plus at potentially purchasing them immediately after the Instagram deal. Yeah.
Too bad that didn't happen.
Yeah, I think, you know.
Lisa would have been rich.
Yeah, she'd be buying.
Well, they've sold. I think she's doing all right.
Oh, no, she's doing very, very well.
Lisa Bettany, who is one of the people who
I think she's made
created
over,
Camera Plus.
Easily made over $1 million so far.
Because they've sold $6 million at a buck each.
Yeah.
And I think she has a pretty decent share of that. Mm. So she should be buying anyway.
Yeah, no, that's what I say.
She's never home. She travels all over the world.
Well, she can't get back into the States.
No, she got her visa.
Oh, she did finally.
Yes, she got her visa.
But she won't show up anymore because she's
hanging out with Eduardo Saverin.
Yeah, she's in Singapore with her billions.
she's Cashmore's girlfriend now.
Yeah. What? Okay, let's dish. A little gossip?
It's not gossip, it's a fact.
We keep hearing these rumors that Mashable, CNN's going to buy Mashable for $200 million. Come on. It never happens.
Yeah, that's what I said. Come on.
Come on.
I've been hearing that. I worked there for a year and a half.
I think Pete's floating.
CNN.
I think Pete's floating these. I think he's saying, hey, he's calling somebody and saying, hey,
I got a good one for you.
I don't know if this, if I could tell you this, but $200 million. Because it never happens.
No.
All right. I'm asking. It doesn't really, it's not really in play. It's just that he wants, there's.
Yeah, I don't think there's any.
You know, we can never get
Jolie,
who's on the show commonly.
She was at Mashable and left to go to VentureBeat.
Yeah, but she seems to have something bad to say.
Yeah, but she will never say it.
No,
she's a nice person.
Yeah, well, that's true. But
Ben Parr, we probably
usually we can worm even the nicest person can be worked.
But you know, I have to say I have more respect for Mashable because Lance Ulanoff is over there. I have a lot of respect for him, former editor in chief of PC Magazine, and
another crazy story that we can't figure out the genesis of.
Yeah, how'd that happen? I want to know how that million guy. Oh, well, never mind. I'll talk about that later. So.
No.
He's at Bloomberg Business Week. Yeah. Who owns that? Does Michael own that?
No. Well, yes, actually.
It's his name.
Peter
Norton doesn't own
Norton.
But
he still owns a majority shares, but he's not involved with the company anymore.
He's busy being mayor.
Yeah, running New York.
Did he have to, in order to be mayor, did he have to kind of divest all the...
He could keep his investment
trust
in the company, but he is not involved
in
the
blind
in any of the
trust or something. Yeah, yeah. I guess that makes sense because otherwise he could like restructure the entire New York City economy in his favor somehow. I don't know.
What?
Huh? We're gonna take a break. John, I can tell John's had two bottles of Pellegrino. It's time to go to the bathroom now, John.
And, I'm not at your level yet, Leo.
I've actually...
don't forget to put your fly up.
Yeah. That refers to a conversation we had earlier. After the age of 50, for some reason...
You're trying to generalize this about age, but it's about you.
Men's pants, the fly just goes down naturally. Yeah. I find myself walking around with my fly all the time.
Now. I'll bet you do, especially around Petaluma, where you're known as the fly boy.
I'm just going to stay quiet over here.
You're a wise, wise woman. I want to talk about GoToMeeting from Citrix right now. They're wondering if they purchased the wrong show. Now, we love these guys. Citrix has been a good supporter and good sponsor for Twit for many years. And, you know, I love doing their ads because we use their products all the time. For instance, GoToMeeting, which we use every time we have a meeting. Go to meeting with HD Faces, especially, is fantastic. Now, and so now you can actually join a meeting and have video from an iPad, which makes I need to update my Flash player. Don't you hate it when that happens? You don't need it for HD Faces, but you need it to play the video.
And that's something.
I hate that. So GoToMeeting from Citrix is was originally screen sharing for online meetings, but it just gets better and better. And now they've got video, which means you can see the people you're meeting with. I can't tell you how important that is if you're meeting with a prospect to see what they there. There's somebody. You see what they what their body language is saying about your pitch. They're smiling or they're frowning. They're folding their arms across and their legs. It's how you get to know the people you work with. Nowadays, we're all over the place, distributed everywhere. The video makes a huge difference. It helps you get better connected with all the people you depend on for your success. And you got to try this in business. I want you to visit gotomeeting.com. There's a right underneath that video there, there's a orange try it free button. If you click that and use the offer code TWIT, 30 days free of GoToMeeting. Simply put, the best online sharing now with video. Looks great. All you need is a webcam and internet connection. And you can join meetings and use the video camera on an iPad. And on the new iPad, it looks spectacular. And I take meetings, in the backyard and all the time. It's just great. GoToMeeting.com. We thank them for their support. Speaking of iOS, we're starting to hear rumors. I think we're still thinking probably the fall for iPhone 5, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Maybe WWDC.
That's in June. Mm-hmm. So they might announce something in June. iOS 6.
I doubt it. Yeah.
No, you don't think so, Joanna?
No, I think we'll definitely see iOS 6 previewed
right
in June, and I think we'll see the hardware announced in September and October.
In fact, what's strange about the rumors is, in fact, I just saw a rumor that said they haven't decided yet. It's like they're kind of up in the air about what iPhone 5 or 6 or whatever they're going to call it will look like. Now, whether it'll be liquid metal, whether it'll have metal at all, whether it'll be glass like the current one, I don't know. I'm sure it will look different. One thing that does seem to be the case, and Apple's been kind of making noises about this, so I'm not surprised, is that iOS 6 will no longer feature Google Maps. That's kind of interesting.
Dumb.
Dumb? It is the gold standard, right?
Yeah.
What if, though, and if this is what people are saying, they could come up with some amazing maps that are better than Google Maps?
Well, there's
Maps.
That open source project that has
all
these...
Yeah, the open street maps.
Yeah, those are... A lot of people are jacked up about that.
Apple has bought now... a number of mapping companies. They bought PlaySpace in 2009, Poly9 in 2010. Last year, they got C3 Technologies. C3 was working on 3D mapping. that's an interesting question. Should they stick with Google Maps, which is not a differentiator because everybody's got it? In fact, Android does it better because it's Android.
Right.
Or should they say go their own way and maybe try to do something even better than Google Maps?
Well, they should try.
You love Google Maps.
The Navigator.
You sing its praises.
I think the Navigator's fantastic.
And the iPhone doesn't have that. I mean, hopefully this new mapping system will have a GPS navigator.
That'd be nice.
Maybe that's the point.
Right.
But that's not a big, wow feature. No, but every other phone has that.
And as we that's the point. Every other phone has.
Yeah, but that Google one is so good. Although I was got into an argument with Markoff, your friend,
recently.
You never invite him on the show either.
I have invited him. He says he doesn't cover tech anymore. He's moved on.
Yes, sure. So anyway, he actually does, but he's writing science supposedly. Anyway, he says that he likes that open source one because I said, it can't be as good as the Google one. He says, there's one little addition. You can be driving down the road, and the way the Google one will also tell you if there's a roadblock and it'll take you around and all this kind of thing. He says you'll be driving down the road, and it says, police ahead.
Yeah, because it's user-contributed.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, which is Waze, right? Is that what it's called?
Yeah. Oh, is it Waze? W-A-Z-E?
Waze.
Yeah. Waze.
I was using that recently.
Yeah,
it's very cool.
So the Waze knows where cops are?
Yeah, well, you'll see other people on the map who are using the app at that very moment. Ah. And a lot of them will have, they say if you have a passenger in the car, he can report, increase in traffic, police.
Wow, that's interesting.
Road work. Yeah, it's a pretty cool piece of software.
So you can avoid speed traps.
But is that that's not OpenStreetMaps. That's an app, separate app. Or are they using OpenStreetMaps?
I don't pay any attention to any of this, actually.
You don't drive?
No, he has a driver. He just, he says, get me home. Get me to the Brick House.
To the Twitch cottage.
Yes. To the strip club, James. Pronto. I'm sorry. I've been mean to you today, and I really apologize.
You're always mean to me.
I am not always mean to you.
Yes, you
sometimes
are.
Sometimes I'm mean, and yeah. I apologize.
Okay.
You can be mean back if it suits you, if it okay. makes you feel better.
I'll work on it. It's very difficult for me to have any kind of a negative approach to these things. So
I know. You're such a positive, optimistic.
My motto is if you have nothing bad to say, don't say anything at all.
I think you're so right. Nobody ever went wrong by saying something nice.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's my motto. Go on.
Yeah,
you're stymied here.
I don't know what to say. So openstreetmap.org is the data that Apple used for iPhoto. I don't know if it's going to use this data. I think they're going to have their own stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I'm confident that Apple can make 3D maps and that they can get it right where streets are. My concern is that Google is so good where I can type in part of a name and it knows which place I'm looking for.
Yeah, Google has more than Apple's just maps. Strengths,
and,
right?
And, you know, unlike a lot of these other products, when you go to someplace, Google will ask you if you got there. It says, is this the right spot?
Right.
And they show you a picture of the place, which is kind of the coolest part.
Yeah.
You know, there's the picture what it should be. And then you can tell them that, no, this isn't it.
Yeah.
It's only happened to me once.
Well, that's one thing.
Apple doesn't do much crowdsourcing.
One thing lacking in OpenStreetMap, which is all crowdsourced, but because it's an open source project, they don't have satellite, they don't have terrain, they don't have street view. All of that costs money, and they don't have that. They only have what people have given them as map information with their GPSs and
you can imagine
by hand.
So you know, Apple has been cozying up, and especially with Siri, with Yelp recently.
That was what I was just about to say.
That would be nice, right?
Like what I worry about is like the infrastructure that Google has with reviews and information. You know, it brings it all in. It looks really clean. And how would Apple compete with that? Right? They would seem to need to team up with a third party to provide that information.
Well, I don't care anymore because I'm using the new Bing.
Yeah,
it's got foxes. Why do people laugh when you say that? What is funny about that?
When did they put the video on?
I don't know. That's the first time I've seen that one.
They're cute.
You can't go wrong with little cute little critters.
Those things are nasty, those foxes.
Makes me want to use Firefox.
Everybody lives in the country.
That's interesting. Huh?
Oh, good one. Good observation.
See, most of the time it's stills.
Nope, that was moving.
Was it?
Yeah, the flowers are popping or something. No, it's you.
John, what you been taking?
Wasn't that a mushroom that popped up there?
Yeah, what you been taking? How'd you like Roger Waters, The Wall? Speaking of mushrooms.
See, this is moving.
No, it's not moving. Those are static. You push me, pull you.
No, watch his eyeballs.
No. These are the little. This is the stupid thing that Bing does.
Oh, well, that's idiotic.
The little thing. You never use Bing.
I don't use Bing. I look at it once in a while, and I downloaded something recently that put Bing as a default, and I just found it very annoying.
See, now you click that, and you get the llama song, which I truly did not want. Thank God Flash isn't working.
I was at this Bing event.
Yeah, because they're going to do more social. What are they doing that's different?
Yeah,
thank you for keeping us on track.
There was a Bing event?
That's what I'm here for. Yeah, they had an event in San Francisco to unveil this new version of Bing.
Yeah.
And
they must have packed them in.
Jolie was there.
No, good.
Yeah.
What do you think? What are they doing? What's different?
So they were saying that their big insight is that integrating social with your search results is not working.
Ah,
they
were the first
they
to do it.
And
they
gave
were putting
a big press conference
they were putting Facebook
been about a year
they were putting Facebook into Bing. So
so now they're creating a wall between social search results and web search results. So you'll have a series of columns. On the left, you'll have the organic web search results.
That's these, yeah.
In the center, you'll have what they call a snapshot with additional information, maps, or
I'm not getting it yet.
Relevant,
but, right?
And on the, yeah, it,
maybe
it,
if I search
start
for
rolling
pizza
it out next week,
right?
Yeah, I'm using it, but I got like the special press one.
Okay, right. Okay.
And then on the right
it's
side,
so awesome.
You'll
you
have the
so
stream.
Jealous.
Is it really, Joanna?
I actually really do like it.
Tell us,
you like Bing?
What do you like about it? Because I think the world might be ripe.
I think Bing
for
is
a
ripe.
Transition for a transition from Google. Oh. Don't you think there's a little undercurrent against Google?
No, yeah.
And if something were better than Google,
yeah.
that people would go there, even if it were Microsoft?
Except for the last thing you said, yes.
The Microsoft well, I mean, was hurting it?
Mark was doing a good job explaining why I think it is the social is better integrated than it was before. Because it's not as integrated. Like, if you don't want to look at it, it's off to the right. And you right. can close it if you want. But with Google, when you search, you know, they're bringing up the Google Plus search results. And it's sort of in your face if you click on to, you know, where it says all your little friends who like this or they might know about it. So with this, like, you can close it. It's off to the side. I wish I could show it right now.
Hey, well, yeah. I think I have... let's see, Google. There's so also, here, this is from Danny Sullivan's article.
There's also something going on with Google that's annoying.
What's
you know,
that?
They changed their interface on the search results. So the first search result comes on, and just as you're going to go up and click on the number one, it swaps it out for some kind of a little ad or a sub ad or some crap.
Oh, that's
have you
not
noticed
good.
This?
No. So you're saying you're going to click on a link,
you,
and it goes, and it puts something else in there?
Yes.
That is not right. Google's doing that?
At the top, the very top, they have some little bogus, instead of the way they used to do advertising.
Does it say punch the monkey? Because if it says that, I don't think it's Google. So this is Bing and a penguin. So there's Danny Sullivan has a head-to-head search about Bing's, I presume this is the new Bing social search compared to Google's search plus your world, which is their mm-hmm. version of social search.
Which is only Google's own social network.
G+.
And
it's all G+.
A potential advantage that Microsoft seems to be starting to milk right now is that they're yeah. integrating, or they plan to integrate with everybody. And they're going to launch this week with Facebook, Twitter, and Google+ integration. On that, on
and
that
LinkedIn
right
is coming or something, right?
And LinkedIn and Quora and several others are coming in the summer. They said,
"Is this it yeah. or is this Google? This is it, right?"
That's it. That's it.
So he searched for New Girl because everybody loves Zooey Deschanel, and you get on the right friends who might know about New Girl.
Oh, this stinks.
So that's Elizabeth said, "I like New Girl." People who know
the show or the search engine,
the and search you, engine,
and then
the
if you hover yeah, your mouse over. Zooey Deschanel has two tweets. You'll get her tweets.
I'm not crazy about the show. I like the search engine a lot.
No wonder Facebook is going to win.
Well, this is all Facebook data. Oh, no, there's Twitter data, too.
Actually, you know, there's something to be said about that, too. Like, I think Facebook search is really bad. Like,
they're working on that.
You know, if I wanted to, like, search for something I knew someone had said about Justin Bieber, perhaps, on Facebook, I, like, have no easy way to do that.
Right.
Right?
You really?
But if I'm on,
is that what that's going to be your example?
that's a good example.
You know, I don't know if you guys know, but you know, there's a little bit of a meme about my love for Justin Bieber in the tech industry. But I'm searching here on Bing for Justin Bieber, and I get all the news. But on the side comes up all these people who might know about Justin Bieber and activity right. about someone who shared about Justin Bieber. So it's actually like a good workaround to search Facebook.
I like Justin Bieber.
Bieger, you said.
You know, Justin Bieber should just...
That's
so hip.
Dustin Giger.
Justin Bieger should... What? No, that's bad. But I it looks like actually there's like some tie-in here.
I searched for Justin Bieber and this is what I got, which is exactly what you'd want, I presume, on Facebook. But I know exactly what you're talking about, Joanna. And partly that's because Facebook is in this weird position where a lot of this data was supposed to be private. And so I don't know how they search because they can see everything, but you are not supposed to see everything. So I guess they would condition the search results with, okay, mm-hmm. what's public, what's not public, what's Leo allowed to see, what's Joanna allowed to see. And I don't know. I think I'd see their problem there, right? They
and
don't
Microsoft,
have an open database. They want an open database. They don't have one.
Microsoft is facing that. I mean, I talked to some of their engineers. They're facing
the same
problem
yeah.
trying to personalize search and being partnered so closely with Facebook, being able to use their data, but only being able to use what Facebook says they can use. Yeah. And it's, you know, you can only get access to what you would have access to on Facebook in terms of what you can see from your friends. But Microsoft can't get access to, say, the newsfeed rankings, so it doesn't know who your closest friends are as right. Facebook has ranked them.
Right.
And in that respect, Facebook would have a pretty significant advantage if they were to do a search engine.
And that's, by the way, Google's argument for using Google Plus. We can't depend, we can't build a service based on what some other company might do or not do.
That's an argument for why Google would not want you to use Facebook
right.
and Bing.
And Google doesn't
but it
want
doesn't
to.
Really help us. Well, as
what Google said, what Matt Cutts said, is look, we're not, we, you know, we had this Search Plus Your World using Twitter, but then the Twitter deal went away. And we don't want, our engineers just don't want to build something based on something that might go away. There's, well, we control Google Plus. We're going to get those social signals from a service we control. It's easier for, that makes sense, right?
Right. It's funny, actually, we, when I was at The Verge, we broke a story about this service called, I guess it's called So.cl or social, which was Microsoft's like research project on search. Like they were trying to make search social and sharing your searches. And I don't know if anything ever happened with that. Like they did open it up, but I wonder if there's going to be some sort of tie-in with that as well.
It is a difficult problem to solve, right? Because it's clear that search alone is less valuable than it used to be, that more and more, if you could massage it with location, if you're searching for a restaurant, location's useful, and maybe some social signals. If you're searching for a restaurant, maybe what your friends think about the restaurant is useful. But I hear people complain, people bitch about it all the time, saying, I don't want to know what John thinks about a restaurant. See, I would want to know what John thinks about wine, but I might not want to know what John thinks about high-life frontons. So those...
I want to know what John thinks about Bing. I'm not really clear on it.
What do you think about Bing?
Sucks.
Bing sucks.
Yeah, totally sucks.
I want Bing to do well.
It doesn't have enough bots.
I guess also it's an issue of trust, isn't it? Do we trust Bing?
No.
Do we trust any Microsoft. Of these companies?
Well, that's an interesting... Neil I. Patel writes a very interesting article on The Verge about all of this and in the context of the new G Drive terms of service. Because Google did, this is a little bit of an old story, but I think it's kind of germane to all of this. Google did, you know, what every company does. When they write a terms of service, they say, we reserve the rights to copy, modify, distribute in any form your data. But they also said right before that, but we're not asserting a right to own it. We just say in order to give you what you want, like document sharing, we have to put this legalese in here. And Neil writes a very, you know, and as a result, of course, everybody's freaking out saying, I'm not going to use Google Drive because they're going to publish my data publicly, even though Google's very clear. We don't want to. That's not the point. We just have to put this language in. Neil then analyzes what Dropbox says, what Microsoft says for SkyDrive and for all these other services. They all say pretty much the same thing. He says, it's interesting. Dropbox attempts to make it friendly. They use the word stuff. What are we going to do with your stuff? And he says, because it's friendly and vague, it may actually be more risky because they're not as clear, not as precise in their language about what they can and cannot do. It may be, in fact, even though you get scared by this Google agreement, that it's a better agreement for you than the Dropbox agreement. But he finally goes on to say, ultimately, doesn't matter what's in the terms of service. It's who do you trust? And if you're going to use cloud services, and I would submit the same thing if you're going to use search. Who do you trust is what really comes down to it. Because you don't want search results polluted by, you know, maybe you gave him a couple of bucks so his results are a little bit higher. You don't want that.
That happens.
Of course it happens.
The New Yorker did a really good article on Dropbox maybe over a year ago.
The New Yorker?
The New Yorker. I occasionally read The New Yorker.
No, I mean, it's hard to read because the articles.
It is hard to read, yes.
But it's the wrong points and everything. But
this
why
particular
were they doing
one,
this article?
They've become very technically
everyone's
focused.
Trying to get into the act, is what you're saying.
The angle they took on this is, you know, only in America will you get millions of people to trust someone you know, don't know. You know nothing about Dropbox, brand new company.
Right. Here, I'm going to give you all my files.
Giving them everything.
Right.
And it's sort of this you know, innovators can really take off in the U.S. because this phenomenon exists, and it wouldn't exist in Germany.
We're not as paranoid as you'd like to imagine.
In Germany, they're very paranoid, and that's why Google keeps running up against these privacy issues and
blurmany.
Well,
that's because they've had experience with things going bad.
Here's a perfect example. Back to The Verge again. Their promotion.
What is this with you and The Verge today?
I like The Verge. Yeah. I'm sorry, Joanna.
Leo thinks
I like
I should.
It.
Just,
they're walking
just
out
go
on you.
Back.
What, we said something?
Go on with your Verge thing.
They're talking about this new service. Droplr Pro file sharing service goes big time. 100 gigabytes of cloud storage, $3 a month. That's a great price. Great thing. But then you hit the nail on the head.
Yeah, who are these people?
Doesn't matter. I'll sign up. I don't know if that's a bad thing, because I think for the most part, they're fairly trustworthy. And certainly people are paying attention in terms of trust. Dropbox got in a lot of trouble when people realized that they had the keys to the encrypted data on your Dropbox.
So there's two companies that do the consolidation of all your Sky drives and cheap free cloud services.
Right, into one lump.
One virtual drive, yeah. So you can just save. And
I've been interested and tempted to that, because everybody offers a few gigabytes for free. If you got all the free services and you could aggregate them all together, you'd have hundreds of gigabytes.
Yeah, free.
Free.
It's a great idea.
It's an interesting idea, yeah.
I can't remember the name of the two companies, unfortunately.
You know what? Ask the chat room.
Chat room, actually, is where I got it from. I think
they will provide. They will provide. I'll tell you what, while they're cogitating, we will take a break and come back with more. This is TWiT and episode 353. I'm Leo Laporte with John C. Dvorak, who is host of many great shows like the No Agenda Show and NoAgendaShow.com. Now twice weekly.
Now twice weekly. There you go. Okay, chat room, you won this week. We'll see what happens next week.
Is that a drinking game?
Just the chat room's got this thing going about you saying
They said last week you didn't say now twice weekly.
No, and I said you said something. I forgot what
I said. Something else stupid, like, oh, Adam Curry's on that show?
Something like that.
Something like that.
Yeah.
And also many other shows, all of which are at channel4act.com. I just can't keep track.
Yeah, sure.
I can't.
And you do nothing, of course, by comparison.
I do 12 shows.
Mm-hmm.
I do. So that's probably a lot.
You think?
But most of them are weekly, so it's not, you know, it's not like 12 shows a day.
No, but you're on
every day
streaming. Yeah. Not, and these never even get recorded, except by the real nutball fans out there that record everything you do.
Everything I do.
Yeah, it's like this. By the way, is becoming a social phenomenon. It's called public archiving,
where,
like,
people save your stuff, even though you're not.
Everybody's saving everybody else's stuff, including music. I mean, if somebody...
I despair for kids today, because you know you can't get in a fight at a high school without 20 cell phones coming out, taping it, and put it on YouTube.
Is that what happened to you?
I beat up this kid the other day, and I just not as easy as it used to be.
No, it used to be easy.
Also here, Joanna Stern from ABC and Mark Millian from Bloomberg Business Week. Maybe it should be Bing Crosby, Bloomberg Business Week.
Yeah, I was waiting for Tricky Dog.
It's a Bloomberg Business Week. I love that thing.
That sounds more like Dean Martin.
Yeah, it does. I should have had that drink. Let's talk about Carbonite Backup. Carbonite, automatic, continuous, unlimited backup for your computer files. You got to back up. I got to tell you this over and over again. And I get calls every day. I get calls on the radio show, people saying, I lost all my data. What do I do? Today I got a call. It was nice. He said, I want to thank you because I signed up for Carbonite. 1 month later, my hard drive died. And I had prior to that, no backup at all. So I feel very lucky. I want you to feel lucky. I want you to go to Carbonite.com, use the offer code TWIT. They have a number of plans now. It used to be that it was $59 for everything on your internal drive. People said, but I want to back up external drives, so they have that now. People said, oh, I have a business. They have a business version with multiple computers. So pick the plan you like, then use the offer code TWIT. You can try it free for at least 2 weeks. I think in the business plan, you can try it for a month free. No credit card needed, nothing, just your email address, a password, and the offer code TWIT. Now, in those 2 weeks, you'll see what it's like to have your data always continuously backed up. It's so great. It's just peace of mind. And the price is very affordable. It's also cloud storage. And when you're talking about cloud storage, $59 a year, and there's not a limit. It's just whatever you got for less than $5 a month, as long as it's on that internal drive. I mean, it's a remarkable deal. You also have cloud storage. Part of the deal. You can log on to your Carbonite account on any computer or use their free iPhone or Android apps. And there's your stuff. So it's cloud storage. It's automatic, continuous backup. You control the encryption keys, by the way. You want privacy? No problem. Carbonite offers it. Their encryption, only you can decrypt. Only you, not them. So it's absolutely private. Offsite computer backup done right. I want you to try it right now. Carbonite.com. Use the offer code TWIT. By the way, if you decide to buy, Continue to use the offer code TWIT because you'll get 14 months for the price of 12. 2 free months when you use that code TWIT. TWIT.
Okay, so Gladinet is one of these services.
Gladinet.
But it's not one I liked. I looked at it. I didn't think much of it. There's another one, Otixo or something. I can't even pronounce it. And that one is not – I never heard of that one. There's a third one, so at least there's three.
No, Carbonite is TNO. Absolutely, it's TNO, Echo, Echo. Somebody's asking, trust no one. That's the acronym.
It's Otrixo. That's the other one.
Otrixo. Otrixo. O-T-I-X-O.
What are these?
These are aggregators.
Gladinet, that's the other one. There's one other one.
So they
no, it's not FlankStack.
Access all your online files from a single app, really. Copy and paste between cloud services.
There was a third one. Is it
I use a bunch of these. I use Arc. I use Spider Oak. I use Dropbox. Of course,
no,
I use Carbonite.
Not it either. It's for the Mac.
But it seems to me that if you found one that you really liked, it would probably be the way to go.
Probably be easier, yeah. I use Dropbox.
Everybody uses Dropbox. And you don't
and
worry.
And Evernote, actually.
I love Evernote.
SMEC.
But Evernote also does not have a strong encryption system at all. There's you know, you can encrypt individual messages.
Right. If you pay for premium.
Yeah, if you pay for premium. I don't know. I think people don't really care that much about the encryption issue. I don't know. So if you're a physician, you have to. There are some professions we have legal obligations to.
Yeah.
But you apparently don't care that Carbonite can access your data. Who cares?
Yeah, I mean, I don't put work files on there. We're not. Yeah.
That's why.
It's a financial company, so for SEC rules.
Legal, you're not allowed. And same thing with a physician.
I think it's SME Storage is the one I was impressed with.
Well, use it and let's then come get back to us, will you?
Yeah.
You don't use any of these. You don't use Dropbox.
I do.
You've got a shoebox.
I do.
Yeah.
I got a shoebox.
John C. Dvorak's shoebox.
You print everything.
Yeah.
Very secure.
Put it in the shoebox.
You know, Will Hurst.
Yeah.
He does email, but the way he does email, he has somebody print every message, and he's got a stack of messages, and then he tells them what to write.
Yeah.
And then they email it out.
So that's the way to do email. Siri.
That's the way to do email.
I think
a lot of executives do that.
Yeah,
a lot of executives, big shots do that.
That's big shots.
A way of being
only
a big
for the
shot.
Big shots.
Google and Mozilla are both a little upset with Windows 8 on tablets because Microsoft says if you're going to make an app for Windows 8 tablets, it has to be Metro interface. You don't have access to the desktop. We have access to the desktop. We have Internet Explorer on the desktop, but not you.
For ARM based.
For the Windows
ARM
on
system.
ARM.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we have to say Windows RT because that's what they've decided to call this.
Why, what does the RT stand for?
I'm not going to call it that.
I'm not either. I liked
just
WOA.
Not gonna do it.
Windows on ARM. I liked that. WOA.
WOA.
That was good.
I'm actually very concerned about explaining to the general public what this is.
I agree. You know what? Here's the good news, Joanna.
I was worried about it before I worked at ABC News.
Yeah, now you're really worried.
And now I work at ABC News, and it's going to be my job to explain it.
Here's the good news.
It's going to be complicated.
RT stands for Ruins Tablets.
The good news is the public doesn't care.
RT stands for really temporary.
All you have to do, because I do this on the radio. Same thing, Joanna. I'm talking to real people.
You're so witty, John.
Royal Turkey is what it really means.
Well, the funny thing is there's WinRT, which is the kernel services that programmers use, which stands for Windows Real Time. Mm. I don't know what Windows RT, which is Windows 8 on an ARM tablet. I don't know.
Royal Turkey. Really terrible.
Revolting tirade. Rotten tomatoes.
We should have a contest.
We could.
Because they never
chat
say what it is.
Great material.
Yeah, really truncated.
Comedic
really
geniuses.
Tedious. Ropey turd.
Ooh, that's not a good image. Ribbon torture.
Yeah.
Retweet. That's the problem. If you search for Windows RT, you'll find all these retweets.
Yeah.
It's not what you're going to want.
It really is runtime, right?
No, it couldn't be runtime.
I think it is for WinRT. It's runtime.
Rastafarian testicles.
But I don't know what it is on the tablet.
What? I'm hearing things at a delay here. I just heard something about Rastafarian testicles.
You heard right. I don't know if Microsoft ever said what it stands for.
They didn't. So
in any event, the larger issue is that I don't know. Is it an issue that if I were Mozilla or Google, I might be upset? You can't really put Chrome or
Well, let's start with one premise. Firefox. No one is going to use this.
The tablet. That's why I'm telling Joanna she doesn't have to worry.
Yeah, no, I think you're right.
People aren't going to be coming to you saying, what is this great new tablet from Microsoft?
Yeah.
Are they?
Yeah, the system may boot,
you do.
Boot into Metro, which in that case, anyone who buys a computer will be using it.
No, I mean, no.
I don't think people will really be referring to it as RT. I think Windows ARM tablets will sell and people will
That's even more confusing. What's this ARM? Do I hold it on my arm?
That's my point. And my point is that it's going to get very confusing, I think, for what is supported on these ARM tablets, these RT tablets, versus Windows Intel tablets.
Right.
Because there are certain things that will not work.
Right.
Well, and explaining that becomes very hard.
That's exactly the issue, which is that Microsoft says if you're going to put apps on our tablets, the Windows on ARM tablets, you have to use Metro only as your interface. You will not be able to use a desktop app. You will not be able to sell a desktop app. We will not put a desktop app on our tablets. So Mozilla and Chrome are saying, well, wait a minute, how am I going to do Firefox? You have and this is where the anti-competitive issue is. This is where the really big debate goes.
But that's also where it gets complicated, because if you had an Intel tablet, it wouldn't be running Windows RT, and you would actually be able to use desktop apps.
Exactly. And if you have a desktop, you can use desktop apps. You know, if you have Windows 8 on a desktop, you're not stuck with Metro. It's only on Windows on ARM. But it's going to get back to this Department of Justice action in 1998 against Microsoft, where they got to get in trouble because they bundled the browser, remember, and they said, no, you have to make sure that there's a competitive landscape for other browsers. And here Microsoft is shipping a tablet that, in fact, will only run Internet Explorer. Now, Microsoft's point of view on this is, well, we don't have monopoly status in the tablet market.
And they never will.
And they never will at this rate. But I think that that's not what the whole issue is. The issue of monopoly is, are you using your monopoly in one market to give you other leverage in other markets? So I think the DOJ could very reasonably say,
they could,
hey,
if
wait
they
a
wanted
minute.
To. But yeah, I think they've kicked in enough on the political campaign front that's not going to happen.
It's a decent point. They don't have a monopoly. I mean, Apple does this, and they kind of do have a monopoly in tablets right now.
But Apple does. There are many browsers.
There's
available
enough.
They all are required to run WebKit, though, or use Opera's rendering. Opera gets around this by rendering on their servers and sending back what are essentially images that you're scrolling through. But you can't put the Gecko Firefox engine.
Oh, that's
on the
interesting.
iPhone.
So why isn't Firefox and why aren't Google and Firefox bitching about that?
It's too busy laughing.
I think they're more concerned about, you know, someone's going to go to Best Buy and buy a new computer. They're going to take it home. It's going to have Windows 8 on it. It's going to boot most likely into Metro by default.
Right.
And odds are they're never going to use a classic app. And so if they want to use a web browser, they'll use whichever one works.
So Chrome and Mozilla are more worried about the desktop. This isn't really about the tablets. This is about the desktop.
I think that's what they should be worried about.
Yeah, that's absolutely what they're worried about, because their Metro apps will work just fine. You know, and they might even be nicer looking than Internet Explorer, because they typically have been. Right. But they won't be able to have a desktop version. And that's been sort of the sell of all of these, right? Of these Windows 8 tablets that we hear are going to be able to be docked and turned into, let's say, a laptop solution. But people will get them out of the box and won't be able to put on desktop apps on the ARM-based tablets. So I actually think it's just going to be incredibly confusing, and I'm waiting for Microsoft to sort of say, well, this is how we're going to market it.
Deutsche Telekom supposedly discussing a merger between T-Mobile and Metro PCS.
Okay.
You're right. There's nothing to say. Verizon refused to help police locate an unconscious man until they paid his phone bill.
This is, by the way,
that can't be true.
This is the problem you were going to start to see when we start turning over a lot of our banking to the phone company.
The Times reporter of Carrollton. A 62-year-old Carrollton area man was found unconscious and unresponsive Thursday morning during an intense search overnight by Carroll County Sheriff's deputies.
He saw his bill.
An Ohio State Highway Patrol trooper on the patrol's airplane. Sheriff Williams said he attempted to use the man's cell phone signal to locate him, but the man was behind on his phone bill, and the Verizon operator refused to connect the signal until the sheriff's department agreed to pay the overdue bill. After some disagreement, Sheriff Williams paid $20 on the phone bill and found the man. That is just sick.
It is totally sick. And it should be. It seems actionable. I think somebody should sue somebody over that.
No comment on this from
this is,
Verizon.
Or somebody who owns Verizon stock should go to the board meeting.
It could just be a rogue operator.
Meeting. Yeah, sure. They work on commission.
Are you excited Harry Potter's on the Kindle?
He is?
Are you excited Harry Potter's on the Kindle? You know, you could get Harry Potter. You had to go to Pottermore, J.K. Rowling's special private site, which I can't run because it's heavily in Flash, and apparently this computer doesn't have Flash on it. Thank you, Apple. If you go to Pottermore, you could buy it, and then you would have to cross-load it, side-load it over to your Kindle. But now, you can actually get it in the Kindle borrowing library.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have to be a Prime member.
Oh, well.
What's the borrowing library? You can get it's cool.
Book a month, free.
I mean, you have to wonder how, like, they structured that deal. I mean, was it because they want more Prime members? Was it because, you know, J.K. Rowling is seriously been protecting her e-books? I don't know.
I think I saw a quote from Rowling where she said something like,
they're giving me a pot of money.
A lot of money, yeah.
Of course that's it.
Oh, yeah.
So then it's just Amazon wanting to get the Prime members.
It's a great promotion, and they just got it, right? We just talked about the whole mechanism of how you would get free lending on Amazon on the Kindle. Mm. All you have to do is pay $75 for Prime. And by the way, you get
Prime
free two-day shipping.
Yeah,
hey.
That's why.
Is Amazon on this advertiser list?
No, and I've been trying to get them for years as an advertiser.
Audible.
Here's another story.
Yeah, Audible's on here.
Elderly Amazon. Husband and wife Arthur and Madeline Morris die.
Yes.
And crash near their Catskills home because they couldn't get a cell signal.
Wait a minute. There's more to this story, I think. This is from the Daily News.
Which is a good paper.
Bastion of editorial integrity.
No, I
like the Daily News.
No, it's not the
Post.
It's
a tabloid, but it's, you know, it's not the Post, you say, as you say. Do you read, what do you read, Joanna Stern? You walk out the door, I see you somehow, it's like a breakfast at Tiffany's moment. You're Joanna Golightly. You walk out the door, you say goodbye to the cat, you go downstairs, there's the newsman, he's been there for 50 years, he says, hey, Miss Stern, how you doing? You want the paper today? And you say, I'll take them all, Billy. And he gives you the Times, the Post, the Daily News. Which one do you read first?
And the Observer.
And the Observer.
What were the Times, the Daily News, the Observer, Bloomberg Business Week?
Yeah, there you go.
Hey, Joanna, you forgot your favorite. Bloomberg Business Week.
With the yellow on green.
I don't buy newspapers very often anymore, but I buy the Times.
You see?
I definitely buy the Times.
You're killing them. Yeah,
I'm killing them.
You're killing them. Do you now, the Times has reduced the number of free articles from 20 to 10.
Mm. Yeah, I'm getting really annoyed with that little paywall.
So you need to subscribe, Joanna Stern.
Yes, I actually have to do that.
Which means Billy is going to starve.
I find myself trying to switch browsers, and then I just give up, and I'm like, I'll just read this on my iPad.
It's very frustrating.
Yeah, it really is.
So you mean it's a cookie? So if you use a different browser, it's 10 per browser.
I don't know if that's actually worked. I want to say it has worked.
I think it's
cookie-based. I've definitely
tried
it.
Unless you're logged in, then.
So those of us who have multiple devices, we could read hundreds of articles.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I've used up the iPad. I think I'll go to the laptop. Wow. Wow. Here's an interesting.
Yeah, no, I don't read the newspaper.
Twitter developing original sports content. Even understand how this could be true.
I don't even really get.
There's a lot of sports content on Twitter.
Yeah. Well, so they put in a help wanted ad for a sports editorial associate producer.
Kind of a title is that?
The freelance position requires a producer to monitor and curate a live stream of Twitter sports content and write pithy, smart content in under 140 characters. I didn't know Twitter was creating tweets.
God knows there's not enough of them.
They have these curated accounts. Like, don't they have Twitter Media?
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't know that.
Media news and tips on how to use Twitter.
So maybe they'll have a Twitter sports feed.
I mean, ESPN does quite a bit of Twitter stuff on air, and now News Corp is, you know, launching their own big sports network.
Apparently Olbermann's going to be the editor.
So if you go to twitter.com/twittermedia, this is the first of them. As you can see, I'm not following them, but almost a million people are.
Wow.
Tracking cool, meaningful uses of tweets in media, TV, sports, entertainment, and journalism. I would guess this is for you guys, for the journalists, for press.
Yeah,
right?
And Facebook does this as well. They actually hired Vadim Lavrusic from Mashable to run their media curation vertical.
And then so you'll know who the big stars are when they join. And
Yeah, Twitter's not launching like an ESPN
computer. They're not doing sports. They're just going to have another one of these, but it'll be for Twitter Sports.
Seems that way.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Just a tip out there for people. According to Control Steve, I get around the New York Times paywall by using private browsing on IE9.
Sure, because it would never save. I imagine that would work on the other browsers.
Yeah, too. No cookies.
No cookies.
Right. A trick.
See, I think the Times knows Windows this, 8. And they don't really care because they're going to get most people get sucked into it. I actually subscribe. I mean, I like.
Yeah, no, I'm going to pay.
I want to support. Like I want to support them. God knows we steal enough stories from Nick and the gang.
Exactly. If I worked for a company where we were charging for news, I'd want you guys.
So
to
you're
pay.
You're smart though. You're working in the ad supported media base. That's a good way to go.
Yeah, but I think we could talk about this another time. I think there's different types of ways to leverage paid content probably at lots of different media outlets.
Sure, sure. Dig.com, 15 engineering employees gone to the Washington Post. I think that's the, you can dig the grave for Dig.com.
You said that a year ago, though.
Well, but yeah, but if all your...
Their
all
whole
your,
engineering team.
All your what? Entire
I don't
staff
know what's left. Sales
leaves...
And,
then you're kind of, it's kind of done now.
What happened to Dig? How come they never sold? And it was a phenomenon for a while.
It was a phenomenon. I think it's interesting that all three of Kevin's companies have all kind of folded in the spirit of a month. And now he's working for Google.
I think it's weird that he's working for Google.
Yeah.
He had to take a job.
Well, I'm wondering, and he won't tell me. I've asked him, and he says, they won't let me tell you what, but as soon as I can, I'll come on. But I think, we're talking about Kevin Rose, who, of course, was a regular on the show. Until he became too big for his britches.
Is he not allowed to come back anymore now?
He can come
is
back.
That a Google rule?
No, he can.
Oh, cool.
Well, that's a good question, actually. I don't know.
He probably won't date the Googlers.
I haven't invited him because he said already, I can't talk about anything going on at Google.
It's not really entertaining to have some guy and say, I can't say.
But we certainly will have him on as soon as he can. But what's interesting is that this new Google Plus app that came out on the iPhone is very beautiful. It's the first. It's the first really good looking mobile app. Maybe Currents, but it's even better. I mean, it's really beautiful from Google. And I'm wondering how much that has to do with Milk and Kevin and Daniel Burka and
they just went over there, right?
Yeah, but that's the thing. It happened so fast. I don't know. We'll never. We will find out when he can talk to us. We'll have Kevin Rose and Adam Curry on.
Okay,
it'd be exciting.
It would make sense for that team to be working on Google Plus, right? I mean, they're all about social.
Yeah, I bet you that's what it is.
Right. And I think apps, right? They know about apps.
Yeah.
So Dig, I don't know what happened with Dig. It's really interesting. But basically, with the engineering staff gone, I mean, Matt Williams hasn't yet said, we're closing our doors, but I don't know what else. I mean, what are they going to do?
Yeah, at the bottom of that, he said stay tuned. So and maybe keep there's digging. More news coming. And keep digging.
But what it's a strange post. It's like, we're proud to share that the Dig engineering team will be joining the Washington Post.
You can see on the timeline for Dig when the collapse started. And it was that major redesign. Was that when you were crowd surfing?
Version
they did that
4.
Big event to announce it. And was that your crowd surfing?
Yeah.
Where you on South
actually, it was after that. It was later than that. But it was I have a shirt that says Dig 4 was my idea. I probably.
Yeah, so you did destroy the company.
I did not. It was me. and if anybody wants any other business ideas, I'll be glad to share them with you anytime.
Maybe the Washington Post is buying Dig.
Well, that's the weird thing. They didn't. They just hired.
Yeah, they got their team.
It's kind of like, why now? Yeah. There must have been some transaction. I don't know. All right. One more break, and then we're going to talk about the most pirated show of 2012. And here it is. It's only May, and we already know. What do you think? Would it be, do you think, a show that you could get on DVD? Would it be, do you think, a show you could buy on iTunes or watch on Netflix?
Yeah.
No.
Mm.
It would be a show, if you think about it, that you couldn't get anywhere.
That would make sense.
Here's a hint. There's a new one tonight.
And there's a new one tonight. Girls on
60
HBO.
Minutes? Yeah, right. 60 Minutes?
I actually like Girls. But anyway, that's...
Oh, Girls. Oh, what a horrible show.
You don't like anything. Like
it's filled with memes.
It I'm is. Sorry. It's the meme show.
She said something and we stepped on her.
I'm sorry, Joanna.
No, I said that yet again we disagree because I like the show.
Me too. I love it.
All women love that show.
Because they're girls.
All women? My mom doesn't like it, actually.
Well, moms would not like it. It is not a mom-friendly show.
Yeah. My mom, I think, is worried about what her daughters might
be doing. What exactly do you do for a living, honey?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you call your mom today?
I did. I did call my mom today.
I did, too. How about you, Mark? You called your
too?
Mom?
Yeah.
So this show is brought to you by Gazelle.com. I know you have a drawer in your house where there's a lot of old junky the gadgets you don't use anymore, like the gadgets collecting dust,
or maybe a closet.
A closet.
Yeah.
A room over a gas station.
Exactly.
Yeah. We all do. I mean, that's what happens. But wouldn't it be nice if you could just say, "I'm going to sell these. I'm going to get cash for them, and I'm going to move on and get the new gadget." That's what Gazelle will do. GAZELLE.com. Joanne, I know you got to go, so we're going to get you out of here in a second. Is it that late already? Wow.
I was just searching for my old gadgets to send to Gazelle.
Look in that drawer. I bet you have an old phone.
I do. I have a ton.
Yeah. So here's what happens. Now, if you go to gazelle.com now, they've actually streamlined it. They accept a smaller number of products. Turns out the products most people wanted to get rid of, the iPhone, the iPad, the iPod, Apple TV, Apple laptops, Apple desktops, Apple displays, all the Apple stuff, Blackberries, the top Android phones from HTC, Motorola, Samsung, LG, and Nokia phones. That's what they were mostly getting. So it makes it much easier because now you say, well, I got an iPad. Let me get an offer. And you click the offer button. You select your model. I think this is the iPad 2, 32, and it's from AT&T. $335, and that's great. And now here's the best part. They'll pay the shipping. You throw it in a box, they pay the shipping, and they send you a check, PayPal, or if you want an extra 5%, choose the Amazon gift card. And that's money in the bank, baby, money in your pocket. Gazelle is a great way to move on and get the new gadgets without cluttering your home with the old gadgets. You know what else? Do it now, because I can tell you one thing. Those gadgets are not gaining in value every day. That stuff in the closet, that modem is not worth more than it used to be.
I think you can still get money for ISDN modems.
If only. Oh, if only. Well, I can guarantee you that your MacBook Air is worth money, your Apple iPad, your Apple TV.
Is this worth money?
Let me see what you got. Oh, and that's a Zune. You know, they stopped buying Zunes.
For good reason.
Everybody?
Damn Gazelle.
Damn you, Gazelle.
Where's the
Gazelle?
Zune?
They didn't expect Zunes. This.
We will no longer accept Zunes.
Oddly enough, the Zune had some of the best fidelity.
Really?
Yeah.
I loved the Zune.
I have my Zune HD still. Yours is you have the one with the squircle.
Yeah, this was mine.
Yeah.
Actually, when I left The Verge, I bought Josh Topolsky a Zune.
Oh, that's a good way to say goodbye.
Yeah. It was the original white Zune.
Did you give him the finger, too? I mean,
that's basically the middle finger of tech. Anyway, if you've got everything but a Zune, go to gazelle.com, GAZELLE.com. Find out what your gadget's worth. It won't cost you anything. Just a couple of clicks to get that risk-free quote. Quote's good for 30 days, by the way. Gives you time to find the other gadgets and get them to Gazelle and get some cash in your pocket. Thank you, Gazelle, for your support. Game of Thrones.
But wait, before you go on with this, your dog is running around here looking for a place to take a dump.
Okay. Right here. Come here. Come here, Ozzy.
Well, you want him to take a dump in your lap? Is that what you're implying?
I was going to give him to you. Game of Thrones on track to be the most pirated show, according to BitTorrent tracking and analysis firm Big Champagne. By the firm's rough estimate, the new season, which you cannot get anywhere, it's not on any form of media.
Yeah, it's on HBO.
Hot shot.
You have to subscribe to HBO to get it. Has been downloaded more than 25 million times from public torrent trackers since it began early last month. Piracy hit a new peak with the April 30th episode. 2.5 million downloads a day. Wow. I mean, I shouldn't laugh. There's a company now that claims that they can you can hire them to block BitTorrenting. They don't say exactly how they do it. It's a Russian company. They're actually a startup. They just raised a ton of money. But I'm pretty sure what they do is they either put fake torrents out there or more likely they search for torrents and they break the chain. And apparently...
Yeah, a couple of fakes and you get them into the stream and the next thing you know, you get a big empty file. Yeah,
that was one of the strategies for taking down Napster and Kazaa and a lot of those music file sharing
services.
That's
exactly right.
They hired firms to go in and put a lot of junk files on there. So it was just a terrible experience. No one wanted to use it. Yep. They just started using iTunes.
Exactly. And so already motion pictures have hired... You know, after the Hurt Locker experience, there's companies that say... Proactively, we're going to hire this Russian company and make sure that we control piracy that way.
Yeah, and then the Russians can have the piracy all to themselves.
You know who doesn't have to worry about piracy? I don't think this Ashton Kutcher Steve Jobs movie.
What's the title of it? I think the working title is Jobs Get Inspired.
Yeah, okay, right there. Bad. Jobs Get Inspired. Wow.
He looks a lot like him, though.
Yeah.
Well, you know, from a distance. But when you see it close up with the sideburn, with the Andy Yanako mutton chops, did Jobs ever have those? I don't know.
I don't think so.
It's a beard.
Mutton chops. I see. It goes more. I just can't see it. All right.
Maybe they'll just do the whole movie from far away. Just a wide shot the whole time.
He looks good on the wide, though. I mean, the jeans, the sneaks. He looks like Ashton Kutcher. Come on.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's
a dog.
It's going to be a dog. Sony, though, is doing the big feature film based on the Isaacson book. Mm-hmm. Sony got the rights to that.
Okay.
Don't know when that will be out or who will be playing Steve Jobs.
They should have it done by J.J. Abrams.
They should.
There'll be some time travel.
That would be good. This is the Steve
Jobs
reboot. A lot of
images and strange
symbols.
They
could reboot it all and start all over. Oh, God. Ozzy found his...
He took a dump somewhere?
Yeah. No, he didn't. Joanna Stern, ABC. Go to abcnews.com. Watch her on TV. It's so great to have you. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me again.
I really appreciate it. We think the world of you. Next time you're in the Bay Area, come here.
Oh, I'm going to be there next month.
Bring your Zune.
I'm going to bring my Zune. You figure out how I can sell this.
I know how you could sell it. I'll buy it.
He's got a museum going.
He's got a museum.
It's actually quite interesting.
Yeah, no, I don't think I really can sell it.
You're going to keep it, aren't you?
I need it for times like this, where I need to impress people
it's
that I saw.
It's great to have to hold up, isn't it?
Impress the rubes.
Feels great in hand, this Zune.
It's not the brown one, is it?
No, it's a black one.
Okay. That's a relief.
Yeah. No, I'm going to be there next month, so I'm going to hopefully stop by.
We would love to see you. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
To Mark Millian, and congratulations on the new job at Bloomberg Business Week.
Thank you.
The cover story, Brazil's War on Big Oil, on newsstands now, and you have an article in here about...
I'm not in that one. I'll be in next issue.
Oh,
or if
this
you find the last issue with some Chinese flag on it, says lies, lies, lies.
Yes, I have that issue at my home. And then on page 39, the article that you recommend about Apple and Hollywood.
Yeah, this is a great piece. About Apple's stranglehold over the movie industry, where you'll see iPhones and Mac laptops, and Apple's not paying for any of it. You'll see these in all these movies.
I'll give you an example. Gossip.
I love the lead of that. Yeah.
Gossip Girl, right? Isn't that a great lead?
Yeah, because you notice it. Well, I watch Gossip Girl all the time, so I guess I notice it. But you really notice it in Gossip Girl. Never has been Apple products.
It looks wrong because Verizon had a deal with them, and all the phones were like droids.
The best part was when the Kin was on
the Kin.
Gossip.
Oh, the Kin.
Like, anybody uses that. So
they didn't sell it to anybody.
The most ridiculous phones on Gossip Girl.
So this year on the Gossip Girl, the Verizon deal lapsed, and all of a sudden, it's iPhones everywhere.
You know, all the actors were like, yes, we can finally
use our real phones,
Don't have to act like I love this thing. The company's gadgets were discussed or shown 891 times on TV in 2011.
Insane.
Some of that pay for, but not a lot of it not, because I think there's just basically Hollywood loves.
Oh, they pretty much don't pay for anything. I think the only ones that they paid for was the first Mission Impossible.
Right.
When, you know, no one was using Apple at the time and they were trying to make a big comeback.
Right.
But yeah, Hollywood just loves
they don't
Apple,
have to.
So the products end up in these movies as a default.
Yeah. Hmm. Thank you, Mark, for being here. We appreciate it. Always good to see you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thanks also to John C. Dvorak and his plaid shirt. He's at channeldvorak.com, my friends.
Yeah, there's links to all the other stuff, you know, like noagendashow.com and PC Mag, Market Watch, DH Unplugged.
Now, before we wrap, let's find out what's coming up, because it's going to be a big week, John. Here's the stories we'll be talking about next week on Twit. Tom Merritt.
Hey, thanks, Leo. Here's a few things we'll be keeping an eye on in the week ahead. Tuesday, May 15th. Oh, I just let you know I'm going to be sick. Also, totally unconnected, Diablo 3 is launching. Friday, May 18th, the Evo 4G LTE comes out on Sprint for $200. And also on Sprint, the Tri-Fi Hotspot with LTE, WiMAX, and 3G, all in one little hockey puck and or anvil, depending on how you look at it. Saturday, May 19th, the hackathon kicks off on the weekend leading up to TechCrunch Disrupt. That's a look at the week ahead. Back to you, Leo.
You have that phone, Joanna. You like it?
Yeah, I was just about to say that phone is great.
It's basically an HTC One with a kickstand. That makes it an Evo. They put a kickstand in, and it's an Evo.
Yeah, so it's actually a little bit thinner than the One X on AT&T. It's just nice.
I think this is. You said it before the show began, and I agree. And I think you do agree, Eileen, and so that this is the best Android phone out there right now.
Absolutely,
yeah,
agree.
Really not better. We haven't seen the Galaxy S3 yet, but I bet you it's going to be better than that. I mean, this is better than the S3.
Found this old Metro PCS smartphone.
Ooh, look at that.
So this could still be the best Android smartphone.
This is Eileen Rivera's very last Twit with us. She's moving on.
A round of applause.
She's our producer, has been for the last year and a half. Really a great producer, wonderful person. So nice to have her here every Sunday when we come in and the show's all ready and she's got it all done and everything like that. I don't know how we're going to survive. Next week, tune in for the most disorganized Twit ever.
It'll probably be the best.
No.
It's been an honor.
Eileen is going on to work for Molly Wood, actually, on CBS. She's going to produce Molly's new show, Always On. So I can't wait. When does that launch? Do you know?
Mid-June, I believe.
Let's get we should get Eileen and Molly in to talk about the show when it's coming up. Eileen will still be around the Brick House, though, because she's the host of All About Android. We'll continue to do that.
Absolutely.
Week.
Every Monday.
Every Monday, right here. 4 o'clock?
5. 5 o'clock Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern. But thank you. It's been amazing. This is amazing.
Thank you. We're going to miss you. Really appreciate your being here. And thank you all for being here. We do this show every Sunday, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 2200 UTC on twit.tv. If you miss it, don't worry. You can always get a copy after the fact. Audio and video is available at twit.tv. And we always have a wonderful, I want to thank you all for being here, live studio audience. Thank you all for coming from all over the world. If you want to come visit during any of our shows, you always can. We just ask that you email my sister and let us know you're coming, and she can give you directions and all of that. Eva, E-V-A, at twit.tv. Thanks, everybody, for being here. We'll see you later. Another Twit.
This is amazing.